First portion. Shall we all read this together, please? And then you can fill in the blanks. There are three blanks. You can figure out which ones are the blanks and then write it down. We're going to read this together. So request each one of you to pay attention and read this out. And for the specific language, I'd request one of our brothers to help me out to pass on the microphone to those who are very comfortable in reading that in their language. So be prepared for that. And those who know your personal language also, do that. So let's all read this together. I'm sure English, I guess all of us can read it together. Chapter 2 and verse 13. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. Fathers, know him, beginning. You just said the first sentence, first portion of verse 13. Telugu, one of us, could you please read? And all of us will join you when we, only the first portion, please, as it is projected. Adi nundi unna vanini erigi unnaru ganuka meeku vrayuchunnanu. So let's go to the next language, which is Hindi. Request James Jacob uncle to join with us to read it in Hindi language, please. We'll all join with him as it is projected. Let us read that in Hindi.
हे पितरों मैं तुम्हें इसलिए लिखा हूँ कि जो आदि से है तुम उसे जानता है
यस जानते हो ओके उर्दू लैंग्वेज प्लीज नादर जेम्स अंकल यस Very similar, but it's a different language, different script by itself. Tamil. Oh. If it was me, I'm sure I wouldn't have twisted my tongue enough to read it. Thank you. Thank you, each one of you. God has given us different languages, but they all mean the same. I wish we could have more languages. I think we have Kannada-speaking people also. In our midst, and it's the same word of God. We thank the Lord for those who have translated into local languages. People like William Carey and others, they have toiled enough to translate the Bible into local vernacular languages, and we need to be thankful to God for them. May the Lord bless the reading of this portion. Gracious Father, loving God, it is better to trust in the Lord than in princes. The central verse, as it says, in the scriptures. Thank you for reminding us through Psalm 118th chapter today. We at this moment want to humble ourselves and ask you, Lord, that you may speak to us through your living word. Lord, we have come with hunger and thirst for your righteousness. Won't you speak to us, Lord? We believe you are going to speak to us. Help us not to get distracted, whether we are physically here or elsewhere also at this moment of time. I pray, Father, that we may focus our attention on the listening of your word in such a manner that it may make a transformation in our lives. For we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Grow up. We are going to go over certain scriptural portions in the Bible. If you need a Bible, please ask the brothers who are in the back, we can pass on the Bible to you. It's always good to hold a Bible in your hand and read it. Though there are digital versions, there are projectors and technologies there, but it's nothing like looking into the Word of God. So we would greatly encourage you to have a Bible with you. Today will be the last sermon of the series, Grow Up. The last sermon of the series. So just as a recap of it, spiritual birth. There is no growth without birth. Spiritual babies, infants, and how we need to go after the milk of the Word of God. And spiritual children, not to be tossed here and there by every wind of doctrine. Spiritual youth, to abide in God's Word, to be strong and to conquer or overcome the evil one. Spiritual maturity or adults. How we need to have solid food of God's word in order to be able to help us discern what is good and evil. Remember? If not, you can go back to our website and listen to the sermons. And today, as a final sermon of the series, Grow Up, it is a spiritual father or a spiritual parent. Spiritual parenthood. I've heard some of us come by and ask, was last sermon, last week's or last time's sermon were the last one? I wasn't sure myself too. I was praying, Lord, what more? What next? Is there something beyond? Waiting upon the Lord to know it, and finally we are concluding this Grow Up series with today's sermon. A child is born, the child grows up to become a young man or a young woman, to become an adult, and then that person will beget a child and the cycle goes. That's how it is, right, in physical life. Spiritually also speaking, those of us who are in this various stages of physical life, you can really relate to it. You don't need to be a physical father to be a spiritual father, period. And that's something that you and I need to understand. When I say father, I mean parent. It can be a mother as well. When God created human beings, he blessed them. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, as I keep telling you the references, please open it and read it aloud. Sometimes I may ask you to read it in different languages as well. Genesis 1, 28, please. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the other creation. That was a blessing of God when he created human beings. The physical creation of human beings resulted in God blessing them and making and telling them to be fruitful and multiply. Please read in any other language, verse 28. That is what the physical expectation of God when he created. And also, when he came to the people of Israel, who were the chosen nation through whom others will be blessed. In the book of Leviticus chapter 26, Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 9, the same God who blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, it is not that they themselves have to do it. There is God's role in it. Leviticus 26 and verse 9, please read. I will look on you, yes. What a wonderful God he is. I will turn unto you. I will look upon you favorably. And then he says, and I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. Such a wonderful God we have. Though he told, be fruitful and multiply, he's saying, I will make you fruitful and multiply. And as we notice, during the course of the period of Old Testament to the New Testament, because of the sinful nature of man, there was sin that has entered into man. Though physically they were getting fruitful and multiply, there was no spiritual fruit or multiplication. With the new creation or spiritual creation of man, the same promise that was given in the Old Testament, be fruitful and multiply, can be applicable to a new creation as well. Spiritually speaking as well, we should be able to be fruitful and multiply just as much as the physical creation God blessed. And to that, there is one verse where Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew chapter 28, the last chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 19, it says there, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Please read in any other language, 19 and 20. Yeah. So here what we notice is that Jesus has given that great commission to go and make disciples. Make disciples. Baptizing them, teaching them. And it is not by ourselves, but because God is with us. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Because He is with us, the Emmanuel God is with us. He will help us in order to be able to make disciples of all the nations. We are thankful to God that we have people of various languages and nations. And our desire and prayer is that we may make disciples. Not just make children. Physically speaking, good. I'm not questioning that. But make disciples. Baptizing them. Having that experience of baptism. And teaching them the word of God to observe all that I have commanded you. What does this word be fruitful and multiply mean? There are two words here. Fruitful and multiply. As part of spiritual maturity, spiritual adulthood, last time when we meditated upon it, there was one point that we focused upon, that is to produce fruit. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will produce fruit. You will produce much fruit. Fruitfulness comes as you grow up from young man to adulthood. You become fruitful. Some people say, oh, this person got matured. What does it mean? What does it mean? But so-and-so got matured. That means they are capable or they have become fruitful enough. They are able to produce fruit enough. So what does multiply mean? The two words, fruitful and multiply, we can also try to put forth two words to it, and please note it down. Those are produce and reproduce. One is produce fruit. And as you produce fruit, you will reproduce the next generation of believers. Most of the time, it is getting difficult for us to produce fruit itself. Forget about reproducing. Because we are still babes. We don't have the capability of being fruitful. We are not growing to maturity. We are not mature enough to be able to even think about making disciples. We have lost that maturity level. We are still undergrown. Some people say this person is a grown-up. You know, have you heard about the word grown-up? What does grown-up mean? To go through the maturity process. So, to be fruitful is to produce fruit. A tree is known by its fruit. We need to produce the fruit of the Spirit. That is important that we produce the fruit to the extent of reproduction. You know what reproduction is? To produce the next generation of believers. It's very important, my dear brothers and sisters. Don't think that our spiritual life is just at the time that we are born again and done with it. You may be still a babe. You may be still a child, tossed here and there. Somebody's telling that, oh, I'll go after that. Somebody's telling this, I'll go after that. Not knowing what is the truth. We are like children. But my goal and our goal as a local church is that we grow up. We grow up to the extent of becoming matured to produce fruit and to the level of reproduction. It's easy to talk from physical perspective, but have you thought about spiritual perspective? Spiritually also, as much as we are growing up, we need to go through the spiritual reproduction as well. What are we doing spiritually? Are we just satisfied attending a church and trying to say, oh brother, I don't know much about the scriptures. I don't know what is all that. I will just remain a babe forever in life. My dear, maybe the time has come for us. Maybe this series was for you to be able to recognize that there is more to our spiritual life. There is more to my spiritual growth to the extent of becoming a spiritual parent or spiritual father. How wonderful it is as a father or as a mother to beget a child or to have a child, to rear a child. What a wonderful experience that is. Let me tell you, God's word is reminding us to be spiritually also having that growth. We need to grow up to that level. In this particular 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13a, he says, I write to you fathers. If you remember, the remaining portion of it in verse 13 and verse 14 talk about other two levels. Remember that? I write to you children. I write to you young men. And then he also says, I write to you fathers. He is also thinking about not just physical level of people. He is also thinking, most likely, as I understand and as we read the scriptures in the light of other scriptures, that he is talking from a spiritual perspective. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. Because there could be fathers, physical fathers, who are never born again. So what's the point in writing that to such kind of fathers? Because you know him who is from the beginning. Do you know him? From the beginning. What does from the beginning mean? That is what from the beginning is. From the beginning of your spiritual birth. There are many definitions of beginning. There is beginning where there is nothing that we can talk about. In the beginning was a word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And then Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And this beginning could mean your own personal spiritual life beginning. Because you know him who has been from the beginning. Do you know him? I'm not talking know about him. You need to be able to know whether you are a spiritual parent or a spiritual father if you really know the one who has saved you from your sins. The one who has been from the beginning. 1 John 1:1 says, he who has been from the beginning. Right? That's what it says in 1 John 1:1. And the same word has come down into this world as Jesus Christ. Do we know him? Do we know that God loves us? Do we know that we are sinners by birth and we needed a Savior to save us from our sins? And the moment I am saved from my sins, through the grace and faith that he has given me, I go through my spiritual growth from birth to becoming a father. What a wonderful experience that is. If you are asked a question, what is your current situation? Maybe you are not born again at all. That is, it's outside this picture. Out of scope for you. Or, if you are born again, where are you? We need to examine ourselves. Where am I in this picture? Spiritually speaking. Am I satisfied just being spiritually born again? A parent will never be happy to see a child remain like that forever. A parent wants the child to grow up. If the child doesn't grow up, there is some problem with the child. There is something going on that we need to be able to help that person to grow up, and we are here to help each other to grow up. From the scriptures, there is one great example of a spiritual father, and then that is none other than Paul the Apostle. He's been a great example of a spiritual father. I was meditating upon this character. Wonderful character. We'll start with 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. Please read. To Timothy, my true child in the faith, my true son in the faith, true child in the faith realm, not in the physical realm, but in the faith realm or the spiritual realm, note it down, Paul and Timothy, true child in the faith. That was a relationship that Paul had with Timothy. Read these letters as a father writes to a child or a son. As a spiritual father writes to a spiritual son, he writes it. There are many things that he writes. We are not going to go over everything. But I just want to share with you that there is a relationship that Paul established with Timothy. Though Timothy had a physical father who was a Greek. In other words, he could be a Gentile. But his mother was a believer. His grandmother was a believer. You know, Eunice and Lois, great men, women of God. Paul took that responsibility to be a spiritual father for Timothy. Was it just Timothy? There's one more person after the two letters of Timothy, that is Titus. Titus chapter 1 and verse 4. Please read. Titus chapter 1 and verse 4. My true son in the common faith, note it down, true child in common faith. In some translations, it uses the word child, or in some translations, it uses the word son. My true child in common faith. He is writing not as a fellow believer only, but also writing as a spiritual father. Spiritual father. He was writing down to Titus and read it in the light of how a father writes to a son. Fathers, when was the last time we wrote a letter to our son? Physically speaking, how much more we should do that spiritually? Mothers to your daughters or sons. When I use the word father and son, it could also very well be applicable for a mother and daughter as well, and different crisscross as well, father to a daughter, mother to a son. How are we dealing with it? Take time and go over it. This was on a one-on-one basis where he was talking about Paul and Timothy, Paul and Titus. And let's flip to the next book. And what is that book? Philemon. Let's read that in verse 10. Please read Philemon. Wow, please read in any other language, verse 10. Philemon 1:10. In the meantime, you can note it down. Paul and Onesimus. Onesimus means useful. He was, for a moment, not of any use, but Onesimus, he says, he writes to Philemon. Onesimus was a slave, and he was a runaway slave, runaway servant. In verse 10, he says, I appeal to you. We'll keep moving on. To you for my child. How personally he was able to relate. How personally he was able to relate. Paul, we know about his born-again experience or his life change, transformation that has happened on the road to Damascus. How his life was, we know, you know, if you read the book of Acts, multiple places it talks about his born-again experience. And then how he learned the scriptures to the extent of leading many to Christ and to the extent of having spiritual children, one-on-one basis, with Timothy, with Titus, with Onesimus. My child whom I have begotten in my imprisonment. I begotten in the prison. I became a father unto him, it says in some other translations. I became a father to him. There are those who need spiritual parents or fathers in order to be able to beget them or to be able to be involved, to be able to help them in order to be able to come to a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul was in trouble. He was in suffering. He was in chain. In those situations, people should be concerned about him. Or people may say, I need some sympathy. I'm tied in chain. Somebody show sympathy on me. He could have been. But even in the suffering situation of his life, he was involved in the ministry. Don't ever use your situation, a personal situation, as an excuse not to get involved in the ministry of God, personally speaking. There was no church that was working with him in the prison, but he was instrumental in sharing the gospel to the extent of letting Onesimus be born again, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment. He was able to tell it so confidently that God used him as a source for enabling Onesimus' life to be changed in the prison. There are people who go to prison ministry, but this person, as a prisoner of Christ, he was doing the ministry in the prison itself. In all his sufferings that he was going through, in all the troubles he was going through, probably he himself was going through so much of physical sufferings, he did not neglect the spiritual calling, my dear. Oh, I'm telling you. It is an eye-opener for all of us, including myself, that we tend to use our current personal family situations as an excuse not to be able to let others come to know Christ. Maybe God wants to use you in your situation, in the prison of your life, or in the troubles of your life. God can still use you to beget Onesimus. But for that, you need to grow up to that level. If you yourself are saying, I'm a child, then how can you be able to be involved in letting others to Christ? You grow up. But let me tell you, this grow up is not like physical life, where it takes years together for a physical person to grow up from child to a young man to adult. Spiritually speaking, there can be a sudden growth in person's life as well. Not every living thing that is in this world grows the same way. Plants grow in their own timeline. Animals grow in their own timeline. Within a year, you will see how an animal grows up. For those who have pets, you'll know that. Physically also, human beings, there is a time that each one grows. Spiritually speaking, God allows us. You just can't say, oh, it has been, let me wait for another 10 years. That is when I will really become mature in Christ. That is not the way. You can become mature in Christ right now as you make the decision to be able to say, Lord, help me. Help me to grow, to become mature in Christ to the level of being a spiritual parent as well. So these three people was on a one-to-one basis. But also we notice that Paul was dealing with a group of people as well as his children. How do we know that? Let us turn our Bibles to the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Please see 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In this particular one, we will read a few verses, as it says here in verse 14 and 15 and 16 as well. I read it. Please listen to this carefully. 1 Corinthians 4, 14 to 16. I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you or warn you as my beloved children. To whom is he writing? To the church at Corinth, to the Corinthians. There are a bunch of believers. No more Timothy, Titus, or Onesimus on a one-on-one basis, but he considered a group of believers to be his children. My beloved children, I admonish you, I warn you. Remember, let me tell you, it doesn't mean that a father always loves the child, doesn't matter if the child is going in the wrong direction. If the child is going towards the fire, you just can't say, oh, please, listen to me. No, you warn him, better don't go there. Stop it. Sometimes we need to warn or admonish. To the extent, he says, this is not for your shame. Don't think I'm making you ashamed. When you are being warned from the word of God, when people of God gives you warnings, don't take it as a shameful thing. He says clearly, do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. Verse 15, for if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers in Christ Jesus. You may be having a lot of teachers of God's word, teachers of God's word who travel here and there and share God's word. Wonderful. There's nothing to be able to be taught from God's word. You may have many tutors, many instructors. But here the Bible says, you may have many tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Let me tell you, That is the role of a spiritual father. You can note it down. Paul and the Corinthians became father through the gospel. Can somebody read this? Verse 15 specifically, in any other language. Upadeshakulu. Yes. Verse 16. Therefore, I exhort you, be imitators of me. He was able to be so confident, telling, be my imitator. Remember during the worship exhortation also, whatever you do, the children imitate you. So he was so confident that he was imitating Christ, and so he was able to say, be imitators of me. That is what the role of a spiritual father is. To be able to teach God's word is good. There are many instructors. You go to your YouTube or go to special meetings here and there, you will have wonderful teachers who will teach God's word. You may be able to appreciate it. Wonderful, wonderful God's word, teaching of God's word. Wonderful. Even here also we have it. But let me tell you, you do not have many fathers. Who are fathers? Who know the children. Who know what to feed them. Teachers may not know what a parent knows. Teacher in the schools, they teach what they are taught to teach as well. But fathers or mothers, they know what to feed. Many times, personally speaking, with the calling that God has given me when we started this church, and to be able to take that responsibility of not just being a teacher, but also to be a pastor or the one who knows what to feed. There were times I was invited to various other places to share God's word. I was hesitant. I said, I cannot leave my local church. It's difficult for me. My local church with whom I have been growing along together, feeding God's word, how can I leave it? But there were times I was asked to. Say, one Sunday, can you please come? Then I had to go. Some certain times I go. But my desire and prayer is to be with my local church because I want to grow along. I want to be able to help us to grow. And that should be the heart and desire of a spiritual parent. You don't need to be a pastor to be a parent. You can be a spiritual father. You can be a spiritual mother in your circle of influence, my dear. And that is what you and I need to recognize here. And then, not only Paul and Corinthians, but also Paul and Galatians. Let's go. Just go to the right. After Corinthians comes Galatians. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. Please read 4:19. Until Christ is formed in you. This is not begetting, but I'm laboring again. Which mother wants to keep laboring again for the same child? Once the child is born, they're done with it. But here what he's saying is, my children with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. Every church, every local church, or in our local church specifically, our desire and prayer is each one of us grows up to the image of Christ. That is the goal, not to be competent with other local churches or other places. Our goal and prayer is, as much as it says in verse 19, I labor again until Christ is formed in you. We are not able to see Christ in you. There is more for you to grow up. You're not behaving, you're not living a life as Christ. You do not have the transformation into the image of Christ. You're still growing up. You're struggling through back and forth. You're falling down. Paul is saying, I labor again till Christ is formed in you. Note it down. Until Christ is formed in you. That is what Paul's desire is. What a wonderful way in which, when we study Paul as a spiritual father, not only individually was he dealing with Timothy, Titus, and Onesimus, but as a local church of believers also, he was able to impart unto them as a father does to the children. There's one more. Let us look at that. With the people at Thessalonica, let's see that. Paul and Thessalonians. We're going to stay a little longer in this particular letter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And he talks about his ministry in chapter 2. He says, you know, brethren, our coming was not in vain. We already suffered in Philippi. But we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid such opposition. So if you notice here, it is no longer I begetting, I labor again in birth pains. But when he comes to the letter to the Thessalonians, to the church at Thessalonica, he uses the word now, we. What happened now? All the time he was laboring to build up the body of Christ. Now the body of Christ has grown up enough that they too have become spiritual fathers. It is not that Paul alone has to be the spiritual father of everyone. Each and every one with whom he is growing up and enabling them to grow are experiencing that specific aspect about the fact that we, notice the word we, our coming in verse 1, verse 2, we had already suffered, and now we'll pick it up at verse 7. You can note down 1 Thessalonians in your sermon notes, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 to 12. Chapter 2, verses 7 to 12. We're going to spend some time on this particular passage. 7 to 9, first I will read it. Maybe 7 to 8, I'll read it. But we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. But we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. If you have an NKJV version or a KJV, can you please read it, please? As a nursing mother cherishes her own children. The word trepho, the Greek word trepho, trepho means to nourish. What does nourish mean? To nurture, to be able to feed, to nourish them. The word trepho has another word to it, trophos, which has come from trepho, which is a nourisher. Another English word for nourisher is nurse. Nourish, nourish, nurse. Maybe that's how the word nurse came. Those of us who are nurses here probably can explain how you got that title as a nurse. What does nurse mean? The one who nourishes. Nurses. Nursing. In other words, nourishing. To be able to feed, to help. Nourishing. And that is what we notice here. In verse 7, we were gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cherishes for her own children. Cherishes, or in other words, cares. Nourishes, cherishes. What is he telling? We took care of you. We took care of you gently as a mother cares for her children. He's talking to Thessalonians. He said, we who are all with him, if you see verse 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1. Who are we? Who are those we? Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. At least three people. These three people, Paul and Timothy, he said, Paul is a father to Timothy. Now, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, they are writing this letter to the people at Thessalonica, and he says, we were gentle among you. We were nourishing you. We were cherishing you. And then in verse 8, he says, having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart or share to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become very dear to us. Very dear to us. That is the nature of a mother. That you have become very dear to us. Please note it down. When I say spiritual father, it could mean the mother also, as I was telling you. So he was relating himself as to how a mother deals with her own children. Now he says that we have taken care of you. We were taken care of. We were so gentle among you. That is one of the most important fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness. It is not talking that we are, oh, I should be gentle. No, let us not be theoretical people. If ever we want to be able to be gentle, let us be gentle rather than speak gentle. Even myself, I am speaking about gentleness. If I am not gentle enough, then what's the point in me speaking gentleness? Gentleness has to be one of the fruits that I need to produce in order to reproduce. How can I be a mother if I'm not gentle enough to take care of my children, in other words? I need to be gentle enough to take care. I need to be nourishing. I need to be cherishing. And in verse 8, so fond an affection for you. Please read in any other language, verses 7 and 8. Ready to give our own life. That is what the nature of a parent is or a mother is. To protect the child, to impart our own lives. This is love. This is love that we lay down our lives for our friends. That is what love is. If you read the book of 1 John, it says that you need to be lay down your lives for your brethren. To be able to impart not only the gospel of God. That's what he says here. Not only to impart you the gospel of God, but also our own lives, our own souls, because you have become very dear to us. What a wonderful relationship it is of a spiritual parent or a spiritual father. Here in this case, the mother as well. Verse 9, it says, for you recall, brethren, our labor, our toil, our hardship, how working night and day so as to not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. We proclaim to you the gospel of God, not by expecting something from you. We were laboring, we were working. We were working, we were toiling. Let's note it down, what he was saying. We were laboring, we were travailing, we were working, not to become a burden for you. At the same time, we are there to proclaim God's word unto you. Many times we don't see that. The so-called spiritual fathers or spiritual mothers, they depend on the children to give them something. Wow, what will you give me? Then I will impart unto you with the gospel. I will share the word of God if you give me something. Or because you are giving me so much, I will start telling you. No! Not to become a burden on anyone. That's what he says in verse 9. We were laboring. We were travailing through hardship, working night and day. We cannot be idle people, my dear. But sharing God's word is one thing, but we need to work. We need to, he was like a tent maker. He was making his own living. And he was serving. He was imparting the gospel of God. Night and day, struggling through in order to not become a burden to any of you. What a nature of a parent it is. You don't want your child to labor in order to gain benefits from the child. You want to help the child. That is the nature of a father or a mother towards a child. Not to get something from the child. What can I get from the child? Because they are not fathers. They are just coming and sharing God's word. But the ones who really care don't become a burden to the congregation or to the people of God. And then let's go to the next verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. What does it say? In verse 11, just as you know how we were exhorting, encouraging, and imploring or charging each one of you as a father would his own children. Now he shifts the gear from a mother to children to father to children. In verse, which verse it is? In verse 11, let us see that. In verse 10 also, sorry, I think I missed verse 10. Let's see that. You are witnesses, so is God, how devoutly, uprightly, and blamelessly we behaved towards you believers. He was very confident. He was saying, you are witnesses and God is a witness also. How devoutly, in some translations it uses the word holy. Bhaktito, it says in other languages. Devoutly, justly, and blamelessly we behaved among you. That is the nature of a parent. That they should really have the desire, spiritual parent should be devoted. He should be able to take God as his witness. God is my witness in all the things that are happening. Not to be a hypocrite, but to be able to be a real parent who has concern towards the children. That devoutly, uprightly, blamelessly, we behaved towards you believers. Behavior towards the children. That is what the nature of a spiritual parent is. And then in verse 11, let us see. In verse 11 it says, exhorting, encouraging, and charging. Something very important to be able to note. Exhorting, encouraging, and charging. What is this? Exhortation. To be able to give an exhortation, to be able to know which direction you need to go. Be it worship or life, give a life, the way in which the life we live, we need to be able to be exhorted. That is the nature of a spiritual father. Exhorting, encouraging, and in the third one, it says, charging each one of you. I like the word charging, especially in the King James Version and New King James Version, it uses the word charging. In some other translations, it uses the word witnessing. But I like the word charging because I could relate it to today's world. I need to charge them up. They should not go out into the world with empty battery. I need to charge my children up. I need to let them be really fully charged in order to be able to face the world. In order to give them a charge so that they will discharge their responsibilities the right way when they face the world. When we gather together as God's children, please read in any other language, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 2:11. హెచ్చరించుచు ధైర్యము చెప్పుచు సాక్ష్యమిచ్చుచు See what a wonderful, you know, you see that parental love and care that we see in the life of Paul as he talks about all these things, that we need to be able to be exhorted, encouraged, and charged to be able to face the world ahead of us. Just this word, last word, charge, I want to share with you a few verses related to that, and we'll close. 1 Timothy 1:18, he says, to the same Timothy, his son, he says in verse 18, this command I entrust to you. In some translations, it uses the word charge you, my son, in accordance with the prophecies, that you fight the good fight. This is how he's charging. He's charging his son in order to be able to fight the good fight, a good warfare, to be able to face the spiritual unseen forces that are causing problems in his life. He's saying, I entrust to you that by them, the things that you have learned, that you fight the good fight. And again, you know how he's charging? 1 Timothy chapter 2. I think 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Then he says, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then he says, not only you be strong, in verse 2, he says, as you heard from me, entrust these to faithful men. Not only am I entrusting to you, you entrust to others. It has to be passed along. Do you see that? That is why Paul, Timothy, and Silvanus together were able to say that we have been taking care of you. You may have a spiritual father or spiritual mother, but you also should one day become a spiritual father and a spiritual mother for another child. That is the cycle of our spiritual living. As much as you have a spiritual father and mother, can you be a spiritual father and mother to the next generation? That is very important. It's very important for you and I to do that. Not only Paul was a great example of being a spiritual father, there are others also in the scriptures, and I want to share with you one verse in conclusion, and that person is John the Apostle. We refer to this for our physical children. But I want us to just read this verse all together as it is projected from third letter of John, chapter 1 and verse 4. John the apostle was able to say this confidently enough. Let's all read this together, please. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. That my children are walking in the truth. I don't know how many physical children he had, but definitely when this letter was written, he must be talking about spiritual children. I have no greater joy than to hear my spiritual children, in other words, are walking in the truth. That is the greatest joy a spiritual parent can ever have, to see their spiritual child walking in the truth. To see the next generation of believers taking up the baton of serving the Lord, to take it forward. The same 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15 that we read. If you read a couple of verses after that, he tells the people at Corinth, saying that I'm going to send my son Timothy. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, he says, I'm sending my son Timothy, whom I can entrust to you. He will teach you, and he will bring back the news about you. He is so confident that in his absence, his son Timothy can take care of the things that are happening in the church at Corinth. That is the greatest confidence a spiritual father will have on a spiritual child who can take up that same responsibilities. Can a spiritual father trust a spiritual child to the extent of giving up everything and totally entrusting to him to be able to take the mission forward? That is what the expectation is as well, my dear brothers and sisters. A father to a son relationship. We can see a heavenly father who sent his only begotten son, totally entrusting to him to be able to take up the task of dying for us on the cross of Calvary and to accomplish the purpose. Father was there. He loved us. He loves us so much. But he also sent his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Spiritually speaking, in our spiritual growth as well, we need to be able to step up. Don't try to settle in the place where you are. You might say, oh brother, I've been spiritually growing mature, but how is your life showing that? If you are spiritually mature, are you not only producing, but also reproducing? Work it out. Last Sunday, I think, or last weekend, I was listening to the sermons, right? During special meetings as well, as Uncle was telling. Rachel was asking Jacob, give me children or I die. And Jacob said, am I God that I should give you? But during that sermon, Uncle was mentioning that if it was Jesus, he would never say that, because he would love to let you, if you have the desire to have children, he wants to make you a spiritual parent, spiritually speaking. And you and I need to have that desire to be able to reach out and make disciples of all the nations, to take that step up. But for that, you need to be a child of God. A growing child of God, a mature child of God, to the extent of being able to know him from the beginning, to the extent of bringing or begetting children into the kingdom of God. It's God's work, no doubt about it. I'm not denying it. But God wants to use each one of us in his ministry of extending the kingdom of God to be fruitful and to multiply. May the Lord bless this portion. May the Lord bless this series, Grow Up. And I'm sure, along with me, each one of you have been encouraged. As we examine our lives in the light of the Word of God, we'll go back to that slide where we see the stages, the various stages that are there. Let's go to that particular one and examine our lives in the light of the Word of God. I'm asking you, each one of you, to just examine, ask the Lord, Lord, help me, Lord, to know what is my current spiritual status. Where am I? Maybe I'm physically mature enough, but spiritually totally mature. Or I may be a young person, but I may be spiritually mature as well. May the Lord bless this word and enable us to go one step up on a regular basis, stepping up in our spiritual life to the extent of becoming a spiritual parent as well. with our eyes closed and our heads bowed down. My dear brother and sister, I'm asking you, are you born again? Do you have that spiritual birth in your life where you can clearly recognize the spiritual relationship with God as your Father? Do you have that? If so, I'm not asking you when it was. I'm not asking you how many years it has been. But I'm asking you, what is your current state? Let us not have past glory saying that, oh brother, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I was born again, or 5 years ago, or 2 years ago. It is about where we are currently. I'm not asking your head knowledge, but I'm asking if you have the desire to grow spiritually. And as Ed Stelzer was mentioning, once I was listening to it and reading as well, where he said, every sermon has two aspects about it at the end of the sermon. People should leave something and believe something. People should leave something and believe something. We should repent of the things that we have done and leave it, and have faith in the God who will help us to grow up, to believe something. If we don't make that point of leaving something and believing something, then the whole purpose of the sermon or the sermon series or listening to the sermons has no effect, my dear. If the Lord is speaking to you and convicting you to be able to step up in our spiritual life, maybe you are still a baby spiritually. You never took that responsibility of reading God's word personally, understanding God's word personally. You always wanted milk, 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 so that somebody else will digest it for you and give to you. You need to grow up as well. While you are having milk, even as a grown-up you have milk, but that you don't survive on milk. You have solid food also. Imagine you are having milk now for lunch. Who will like it? We want solid food. How much more, spiritually speaking? If that is your desire, to step up in your spiritual life, first to be born again, to grow from being a baby to a child to a youth to an adult to becoming a father, may the Lord enable each one of us to grow up to that level. And let us take that commitment to the Lord. Oh, my dear brother and sister, with our eyes closed and our heads bowed down, if that is your commitment, just raise your hand once. Just raise your hand once and say, brother, I want to step up in my spiritual life. Praise the Lord, brothers. Praise the Lord, sisters. We praise the Lord for you. If any of you sitting here, you can lower your hand. If any of you sitting here do not have that experience of being born again, and you are just sitting here physically, spiritually dead, maybe the time has come for you, as the Spirit of God speaks to you, to be born again, to have that spiritual life to begin. Doesn't matter how much ever old you are. Nicodemus had to tell, how can an old man get back to the mother's womb? An old man. That old man had to be born again. A young man had to be born again. A child has to be born again. Doesn't matter what your age is. Don't get ashamed of your physical age, but be ashamed of your spiritual age. Maybe you are in negative value of your spiritual age, or maybe you are still zero, or one, two, at what level you are and I are in. Let us examine ourselves and make this commitment. As a local church, it is our responsibility to be able to grow up together, my dear. I want to grow up. I want each one of us to grow up. And that is the goal and vision of our church, that we may grow up. Grow up to the level of being a spiritual parent. Can you be like that? Can you have that desire for the next 3 months in this year, 2018? Lord, help me, Lord, to be able to not only produce but also reproduce. Help me to reach out. Many people are lost. Lord, maybe there are many Onesimuses who need to be born again. Won't you have the desire, my dear, to go out and make disciples of all the nations? How long are we being fed with the milk of God's word? We need to start having solid food. We need to digest. We need to feed others as well. To nourish, cherish others as well. For that, you need to become a parent as well. How much longing a person has to have children, just like Rachel was. You and I need to have that longing to have spiritual children. Can somebody say that so-and-so is my spiritual father? Can somebody say that so-and-so is my spiritual mother? What a great privilege that would be to be called as one. Oh my dear, in your house itself, you can be not only an earthly mother, you can become the spiritual mother of your children. A spiritual father to your children. Just begetting children is not sufficient, my dear. You need to take care of them spiritually. If you are not grown up enough, how can you take care of your children spiritually? How wonderful it is to have the same parent to be a spiritual parent also. Maybe you should make this decision for Christ. Even if you are not a physical parent, you can still be a spiritual parent to bring somebody else to Christ. A young man can be a spiritual parent for an old man as well, physically. Don't neglect the calling of God. There is no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth. Oh, my dear. Let us make this commitment to the Lord and really take it forward. Let our church not be a stagnant church. A church that is not growing, but it should grow. We should be growing church, my dear. Just as a plant grows, just as an animal grows, just as a human being grows, spiritually speaking, we can grow exponentially, spiritually. For that, you need to ask the Lord to strengthen you and guide you and help you in fulfilling that great commission. The Heavenly Father sent the begotten Son into this world with a commission. And we are also given that commission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Won't you take that responsibility? Don't wait for somebody. You be the starter. You be the trendsetter in order to be able to have the desire to reach out to the unreached. Become a spiritual parent. May this series bring a transformation in our lives, my dear. Let this not series go into history for the sake of going back, but let this make a transformation in our lives, including my life, to grow up. There is so much to grow up, my dear. Don't settle down as a baby. Don't settle down as an immature person. It'll affect your life. It'll affect your family life. It'll affect your church life if you're immature, carnal Christians. Be spiritual Christians. Help others grow. Encourage, exhort, charge others. Don't discharge them. Charge others. As we prepare ourselves to taking part in the Lord's table, as we examined our lives in the light of the word of God that was preached unto us, let us take this step forward, saying, Lord, as Christ has come into this world to accomplish your purposes, Lord, that great commission that you have given me, I want to accomplish, Lord. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. To make disciples. Not just making children, but making spiritual children. Disciples of Jesus Christ. Help us to be fruitful and multiply. As we take part in the Lord's table, let us take part in a worthy manner.